This is an Avery audio performance based on a script by Totally Not Natalie. Please be respectful of our creative work and do not download it. And do not distribute it. You're listening to Strangers in the Night, Part 1, The Captain. I grumbled to myself as I glanced in the mirror. All I wanted was a damn lipstick that lasted longer than an altar boy on his wedding night. I shouldn't be surprised. In my line of work, any type of decency was hard to find. I suppose I should have thought myself lucky to have a break from it. But in truth, I craved mystery more than I had ever craved any man. Even on vacation, my mind longed for another case. Maybe it was a sickness, but it still gave me a better life than half the broads on this damn ship. We had only departed from port a few hours ago, and I had already counted at least 6 blondes chasing after some fella's money. More power to them. At least detective work never required me to laugh at jokes that weren't funny. Not that half the fellas on this boat hadn't already tried their hand. Unlike all the little brides-to-be, I saw no need to hide my assets. Since I didn't have to impress anybody's daddy, why not enjoy what I had? The trust fund boys could oogle all they wanted, as long as they kept their hands to themselves. I smoothed out my dress in the mirror. My plan for the night was simply to get through dinner without some poor sap promising to save me from my troubled life of crime solving. Why, anybody would think that I might prefer a life raising entitled little brats was beyond me. But it turned out that it didn't matter anyway. I knew my plans were thwarted the second I heard a crash come from the main dining room. I took one last look in the mirror before I ran after the noise. I guess my painting my lips would have to wait. A decent crowd had already gathered by the time I reached the site of the crash. Everybody seemed to be confused, despite the fairly obvious scene that lay before them. I only needed to take a quick glance around the room to figure out all I needed to know. Broken bits of chandelier lay splattered all over the floor, and just beyond them, a pretty little blonde girl was shrieking her head off. I had been told earlier that she was the daughter of some count and heir to a rather large fortune. Easy case. Chandeliers don't just fall out the sky. Somebody was trying to kill her, and I was willing to bet my last dollar that whoever was behind it wanted her gone because they were next in line for that count's little pot of gold. I glanced at the crowd and realized that none of them were going to do a damn thing until somebody spelled it out for them. So, I figured I'd better confirm my suspicion before any suspect could get too far. Ignoring the gaped mouth and shocked voices, I pushed myself to the center of the room to examine the chandelier. One glance at its rope told me all I needed to know. They were severed, just like I knew they would be. I knelt down to pick up one to show it to the room. But as I stood up again, I noticed a man on the other side of the chandelier. I knew him, but I didn't let my eyes linger for too long. He was just another boring day-to-day detective. They were a dime a dozen in the city, and I had met nearly all of them at least once. This one was nicer than most, and by that I mean that he had the decency to never ask me out on a date. For that reason, I like to call him the gentleman. After all, he was one of those poor smucks who like to play by the rules. He was even sappy enough to make sure the girl was okay before bothering to check the ropes. Well, I guess his hesitation was my gain. I didn't even tease him with a smile as I announced my discovery to the room. He wasn't worth my time. This was my case. I wasn't about to let some poor man's gumshoe take it from me. I did my best to hide my satisfaction as more mummers and gasps filled the room, but I could tell I had made the poor gent see. He immediately grabbed the crying girl's hand and dragged her away to question her. Poor thing, she didn't even have a chance to calm down. And it was a waste of time anyway. The motive was obvious and the girl wouldn't know anything more. And I was more concerned about the ship had a killer on board, which the gent all too conveniently seemed to have forgotten about. And I wasn't about to spend the next 5 days worrying about keeping all the silver spoons safe. So I turned and headed straight to the captain's office. I had to get him to turn the damn boat around. The old man didn't even look up as I entered his office. One of his mates must have already told him about the accident. Well, at least, I didn't have to waste my time filling him in on the gory details. Instead, I immediately demanded that he return to port. The safety of his passengers was at stake. Surely, this little excursion could wait until we caught the would-be killer. But he shook his head and ignored my protests. He reminded me that every day late to port put them another day behind on their next journey. Passengers would find another boat, profits would be lost, his entire crew could lose their job. It just wasn't worth the risk. I considered arguing with him, but one look in his eyes told that it wasn't worth my breath. He truly did care for his crew, like they were his own kin. I couldn't blame the fool. If I had anybody like that left, I'd hold tight to them too. My eyes lingered on his a bit longer. I knew I should have left then. I needed to find that damn murderer before they finally landed a killing blow. But somehow, my feet refused to let me. Even though I had only known him for a short time, the captain was a man that I couldn't help but admire. He was one of those rare men with integrity. And integrity was something that I liked to reward. I grabbed his collar and pulled him toward me. When he was finally close enough, I whispered in his ear, "I know what having a high-demand job can do to a man. I was wondering if you would like a little help relaxing tonight." He blushed and asked what I meant. I smiled and told that I would do whatever he wanted, as long as I got to remain in control. He could barely get a nod before I pushed him onto the desk and started undoing the buttons of his shirt. Then I slid my body over his naked chest as I heard him let out a moan. The first of many, I hoped. I planted kisses all along his neck, letting my lips linger a bit longer with each pack. Once he started moaning louder, I moved my mouth further down and teased his nipples. I smirked to myself as I watched him squirm with pleasure. I wanted him to get everything he needed tonight. When I was done teasing him, I moved back up to whisper in his ear. What do you want tonight? He hesitated for a moment, but eventually gave in to the demands of my eyes. He pointed towards the remains of an old anchor that sat in the corner of his office. I looked at it and then back at him. He opened his mouth to try to explain, but I covered it with my hands. Then I shook my head. I already knew what he meant. It wasn't the anchor that he was after. It was the rope. I probably should have expected that a captain might have a thing for being tied down. But no matter. I was more than happy to oblige. I gave him one last kiss before I slid off of him. With a wink, I went to grab the rope and didn't waste any time securing his hands and feet. Although, as I was finishing up, I did make sure to give his wrists a couple of kisses. Just for good measure. Once he was restrained, I climbed back on top of him and resumed kissing every inch of his body. My mouth danced over his abs as I felt them tense and relax with each kiss. I smiled. He was such fun to play with. Then I moved even lower, letting my tongue wander down his navel and tease at the corners of his slacks. When I heard him gasp, I smiled and then looked up and asked if he was ready for more. He nodded and made a move to undo his pants before quickly realizing that he was all tied down. I smirked and whispered, "Don't worry, darling. It's my honor to serve you." Oh, he blushed, but I didn't care. My hand slid down his crotch. I moaned in delight as I finally felt his hard, wet cock. Such a strong man. I couldn't resist indulging myself a bit. So I let my fingers run over it, feeling it get bigger and harder with each stroke. He gasped, and I started stroking him harder. I wanted to see how further I could push him. I smirked as he gasped and wheezed at the mere touch of my hand. But despite all his moaning, he looked back at me with stubborn eyes. It was clear that he wanted more than the grace of my fingers. And like I said, I was happy to oblige. I finally slid off his pants and bent down to taste his cock. He tasted amazing. I knew that he was ready for me, but would be all the more rewarding if he could just last a little longer. Good thing the deer knew how to be patient. Besides, I wanted to honor him, all of him, his cock included. So I kissed it all over, starting with the shaft and end with the tip. I refused to leave any spot untouched. Every inch of him deserved my attention. When I felt like I had pleased him enough, I finally put his cock in my mouth and let myself truly taste him. He was so wonderful. I opened even wider to get every inch of him inside me. Then I started to bob my head up and down. He moaned and fought against the ropes, determined to last as long as he could. Oh, but I knew that it was all an act. He loved being tied. He loved being under my control. He was mine to hold, and I had him right where I wanted him. All I needed to do was get him to give in to me. Oh. I gave him a wink, and then I applied just a little bit more pressure. Not much, just a little more. Oh, just enough to send him over the edge. Oh, I started moving faster and harder. I wouldn't let him hold back anymore. I wanted so badly for him to come for me. He gasped and shook. I held him down as I pushed him even further. He was so close. I would break him. And then he finally gave in to his ecstasy. I felt his body tremble beneath me as I tasted his sweet cum in my mouth. I sat up and smiled. He stared back at me, looking awestruck. Guess I did a good job helping him relax. I didn't have time to linger, though. The killer was still on the ship and the time was of the essence. I untied him and tossed him his clothes, then head out the door without looking back. However, as I was walking away, it occurred to me that I should thank him. Not for our little tryst. I didn't have to be a detective to know that he enjoyed it far more than I did. But for the opportunity he had given me. If the captain refused to return to port, that meant the murderer couldn't leave the ship. And I had 5 days to find them.